Martin Tyler has a call of a couple of games this weekend. He's got Uruguay and France and Sweden versus England. And we're very pleased to be joined on the Jeff Blair Show by Martin Tyler. Martin, thank you so much for joining Michael Tracos and myself. We really appreciate this. Before we get to the matches, I want to just ask you about your experience in Russia. I thought, you know, this was going to be the end times World Cup. There'd be rioting and be a high body count and the Russian team would be awful and everything would be bad and everybody'd be, you know, have one foot out of the country by the time this part of the competition rolled around. But everything I read and everything I hear seems to be quite, people seem quite happy with the way it's gone.
It's been run very well, guys. I must say, the welcome here has been as warm as you would expect from any World Cup in any part of the world, but perhaps not be so anticipating that it would happen in Russia. But the Russia we're meeting is, of course, not the Russia of the politics, although at the top, I'm sure, the president has had a big say on how the people are conducting themselves, but the truth of the matter is the Russian people have been extraordinarily friendly. They're relishing the opportunity to show off their marvellous and vast country. I mean, you know a thing or two about vast countries. Mm-hmm. For us coming from a little island to the size of this place, it's quite mind-blowing, really. So it's gone well, and I'm delighted for the Russian organisers that it has, because they obviously put a lot into it. The grounds are good. The most important thing is the games have been good, and they can't legislate for that. But so the football community can be very proud of how it's gone, really. Most of the games have been very close, and it's still pretty hard to pick a winner, to be honest.
Well, that was my next question. I look at the matchups, France and Uruguay has been awfully good throughout this tournament. I don't know if we've seen the best of France. They played well, but I don't know if we've seen the best. Sweden against England, Russia and Croatia, and Brazil versus Belgium, which is going to be a fascinating matchup. But I'll ask you right now, Martin, who do you think of the eight teams? Is there a team that you feel might have a leg up on the other teams?
No, I think as an Englishman, there's a sense of destiny or maybe wishful thinking about mm-hmm. the opportunity that England have to be world champions for only the second time in the country's history, and the first time was 1956. So there's a lot of people who haven't lived through that. I was lucky enough to experience the joy the nation felt, and those guys have been my footballing heroes since it all happened. So maybe it's time for a new lot to come along, but and the draw has given England on paper a relatively straightforward path. But the games against Sweden have been very tight down the years. The Swedes have a knack of knowing, loving English football, so they know a lot about it. They know how to cope with it. But England, there's just something different about this England squad. They're very well prepared. They're very together, a band of brothers. They are getting over the hurdles that are put before them. And they're quite a powerful team. I mean, they've been winning through set plays, really. They've scored a lot of goals from corners, and if they haven't scored from the corner, they've been fouled during the corner and get a penalty. Harry Kane scored three penalties of his six goals, and he's the top scorer in the competition. So there is a feeling. The feeling for me comes not so much perhaps totally from what I'm seeing here, because I think there's some other very good teams as well, but it's changing, and we are the world under 17 champions. We're the world under 20 champions. It all happened in 2017. And that has really changed the mindset, I think, about the country for the senior team as well, that it isn't pie in the sky, that they could actually do it. But I'm not saying that I would pick them from this last eight. To be honest with you, I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I'd be saying, or being asked advice by somebody who wants to have a bet, I would say don't bet, because I'm not sure where the value lies, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was wondering about England, because I think we debated this yesterday, whether there's that collective sigh of relief and now the pressure is off them. They finally kind of vanquished all those demons from the failures in the past on penalties. Or do you see this as, like, could it have been an emotional letdown after, you know, they get past a team and maybe a part of the game that they never got past going into Sweden? Could there be that sort of emotional letdown now?
Then they'd be let down. I think it'd be an emotional, fantastically big buzz, because the penalties have been a real bugbear in tournaments when England teams probably with a bit more experience and maybe even a bit more talent than this squad has got have faltered at that particular juncture. So somebody said to me in the media area, an English reporter said, wouldn't it be great if we won on penalties? And I said, well, I don't know whether the tension would last through that, but it was very tensing and went behind in the shootout, actually, before the goalkeeper, Jordan Pickford, made one outstanding save. And Colombia hit the bar with another penalty. And that's the margins you're talking about. Hit the bar, could have gone in, hit the bar, came out. And it went on to win it. So I think that was a big boost. The manager's a very impressive figure, Gareth Southgate, who's comes as demeanour is quite understated, but he's a really strong competitor and he's a very proud Englishman. And I think that's perhaps been lacking with some of the, with no disrespect to any of the coaches that have come before, particularly the ones who've come from outside England. I just think that's an extra element that's working at the moment. I mean, it all could change by our time, by sort of 7 o'clock on Saturday and they could be out, but they've got a chance, and I haven't said that so often over the last 4 or 5 World Cups when we got to this stage.
You know, one of the things that has really struck me, Martin, about the English team, first of all, the youth. When you look at the age of the kids who took the penalty kicks, and I'm thinking of Marcus Rashford in particular, and I have no idea what that could do for his career going forward and his confidence, but I watched... The international feed had a shot of Gareth Southgate going around from player to player while they were, you know, taking water before the penalties. And he went up and said something to Marcus Rashford, and Rashford just kind of nodded. You know, like, and it was like there was no fear. He just kind of nodded, as almost as if he expected. I don't know if he was telling him he's taking penalties, but it was almost as if he expected it. And the thing that I've noticed about this English team from the first match now is, in the past, I kind of got the impression that the English side was maybe a little shy when it came to using some of their speed and athleticism, whereas this side isn't at all. You know, whether it's Lingard or whomever, they're quite comfortable playing with pace, and we haven't always seen that in the past.
No, I think the climate here has been quite kind. I mean, the temperature dropped in Moscow by about 7 or 8 degrees, and it was a very English day. I've been here over 3 weeks now, and it was the most English day that we've had, and in fact, it stayed that way. I've travelled down from Moscow today to Nizhny Novgorod, where the France-Uruguay game is, but the weather here is still, I mean, it's grey, and it's been a bit of rain, and it's been really hot pretty much everywhere. It'll be hot in Samara, where England play on the weekend, so that would be tricky. But on your point for penalties, they've done a massive amount of preparation on it because it has been a bugbear and they had to do something different. The players, I thought, were the most confident group of players I've seen go up to take penalties for England, and that's great credit for the psychology, but also the technical preparation, which includes things like, look, do you know where you're going to put your penalty? Mm-hmm. If you put it right, then the goalkeeper will go the right way. You still won't save it. And that was clear with Eric Dyer's winning penalty. And they believe they've had all sorts of detail. And Gareth Southgate said months ago, I know who my best penalty takers are. I know where they're going to put the ball now. And I think Marcus was just, he'd only just come on as a substitute. So I think it was somebody just saying to him, look, you are in this. You are one of our best penalty takers. Mm. You're going to step up. And of course he did. And he did successfully.
So, Martin, we got Brazil, Belgium tomorrow, and I think that has the makings of being arguably the best of the four matches that we're going to see in the next couple of days. And it's hard to talk Brazil without talking about Neymar, and it's hard to talk about Neymar without talking about all the dives. And a Swiss TV company calculated this, Jeff. 13 minutes and 50 seconds he spent writhing on the grass or on the pitch. Are we making too much of this, and is it sort of overshadowing all that he's been doing aside from diving, flopping, whatever you want to call it?
No, I don't think we're making too much of it. I think it's a great shame that such a great player has to, if you like, resort to this kind of behaviour. I mean, it's quite out of contrast with the rest of the World Cup. It's been a very non-controversial World Cup. That may change, of course, the stakes are getting higher with every passing game. and that brings the rest of other tensions in. But he's played pretty well after not a very good first game, where he was accused of putting himself before the team. He took that on board and has been a really good team player. I've seen all the game. I've been at all the games since that first one. So I've also seen all the riding about and the dive for the penalty, which fortunately VAR rescinded in the game against Costa Rica. So I think he's now getting some criticism from Brazil, which is probably the thing that might get him back on message again for the rest of the World Cup. It's quite a contrast, you know. He plays for Paris Saint-Germain. Kylian Mbappe is the 19-year-old who's taken the competition by storm from France's point of view. He's absolutely the opposite. He's a very single-minded, serious young man with political aspirations, I think, in within sport. He's already had discussions with the French president over developing sport in Africa. He's obviously got an African background. And he's so level-headed. He's to forgive a 19-year-old for doing something stupid. But Neymar's been around too long for that. And so it is an issue. And I think because there's not too much else going on behaviorally-wise, he's copped for it, Neymar. And I hope, and you'll find out, because Belgium, yeah, it's a tough game for them. And you'll find out whether he's going to be questioned. But it's one of the things that people who don't love our game point right. to the finger and say, there's no other sport that really does that. And I agree with that. I think it's shabby, to be honest, whether it's Neymar or somebody doing it in a lower division semi-professional game or something like that. I just think it's not on, really. And let's hope that that everyone deserves another chance, and certainly he does. But it would be great if he... I know one or two players down the years who had a bit of slack in the media, and they then become self-deprecating. They do it and take the mickey out of themselves, and that would be the great riposte. The world would love that. Mm. He would get everybody back on side if he found a way to mimic himself, you know.
Martin, before we let you run, I did want to ask you about VAR, certainly one of the talking points of this tournament. Have we learned anything about VAR that you think could be applied in the Premiership sometime soon?
Well, I think it will be. They took the decision not to do it for this forthcoming season. I think we've learned a lot.
Right.
What I don't want to see is the games being decided on penalties. We've had 56 games and 28 penalties. Plus a couple, like the Neymar one, that have been awarded and then been rescinded on VAR. I think that's the risk. It might change the player's behaviour. With some of the off-the-ball fouls that you get away with without the cameras being referred to, it may now be maybe struck from the game, which, like grabbing shirts at corners. But I have to tell you, the attacking team do clever things as well. It's not all about the defenders, and nobody here has pointed out the blocking that can go on by attacking players to get people free to be able to head the ball in from corners. That's something that the officials haven't been able to finger yet, and I think that kind of thing has to develop. I thought I'd be totally against it, guys, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. I think it's added to... I was thinking, oh, well, I won't shout goal anymore because it might not be.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't like that. You have a sixth sense as to what might be reviewed, and you say, well, you know, that's a great goal. There is an issue on this. And if they sort it out quickly, everybody's happy because nobody wants things to be wrong. And the referee, there's just no excuse for getting it wrong on VAR. That's my final thought on it.
Right.
If we have VAR, it has to be right. Well, we'll give them half a percentage through human error. It has to be right 99.5% of the time on the review. And if that doesn't happen, then they should chuck it in the bin. But at the moment, it's heading in the right direction.
Martin, we're going to let you run. Always good to talk to you, my friend. Be safe, travel well, and enjoy the summer when it finally does arrive for you.
Thanks, Martin.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, guys. Pleasure to talk to you.